Safe has a busy week planned at Oshkosh. Two new Able Flight pilots will get their wings at AirVenture. And Ford creates another $1 million Mustang to benefit young eagles. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 20th, 2010. Trucks and planes are already on their way to Oshkosh from vendors large and small. To avoid the crush of simultaneous product introductions that always happens in the first 4 days of AirVenture, some companies are choosing to release their news a few days early to avoid getting buried. One of the cool products we're looking forward to seeing is a new small Mode C transponder from Sandia. Called the STX-165, it's just half the width of a standard 3ATI radio stack panel, 7 inches deep, and has a built-in encoder, all for $1,700. It also displays pressure altitude, timer functions, and if you add an optional probe, outside air temp, density altitude, and even icing alerts. There's also a faceless remote mount version to interface to your glass panel. Sandia's display will be in Hangar C starting on Monday. SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, plans a full week of activities at AirVenture this year. Members will be conducting at least 24 forums on topics ranging from making a living as a flight instructor to glass cockpit transition, stall spin myths, how to start a flight school, rapid GA growth with light sport aircraft, and the lost art of directional control. SAFE's Flight Instructor Liability Insurance Program is also debuting during AirVenture. The program was a key promise made at the organization's founding in 2009. It offers extensive coverage for CFIs, including online applications and the ability to finance premium payments. A discount is also available to SAFE members who are current master instructors. There will also be demonstration of Redbird's desktop simulators, a quiz which qualifies participants for a drawing to win a Zulu ANR headset, and more cooperative displays, many of them at the SAFE booth. Get more details in the text version of this story, dated July 19th, at aero-news.net. Two new Able Flight pilots will get their wings in a ceremony at AirVenture. Family, friends, and special guests will be there to honor the two who took part in a special Purdue University Able Flight joint training project this summer. During June and July, Chris Spauer of California and Heather Schultz of New Jersey lived aviation full-time in an intensive program at the University Airport, where they were taught by university instructors while living in university housing. Heather sustained a C5 spinal cord injury in a diving accident in 2006. Since then, she's faced more than 3 years of intensive physical therapy and has defied the predictions of doctors who told her she'd never walk again. Heather's training was made possible through her selection as the 2010 recipient of the Jet Aviation Scholarship. Chris is a 20-year-old with muscular dystrophy. He's one of triplets and shares the condition with a sister. He comes from a family with a tradition of flying. Both his mother and uncle are pilots. Chris was selected by Able Flight as the recipient of its Bombardier Scholarship for 2010. ANN salutes you both and the Able Flight program. Well done all around. For the third straight year, the Ford Motor Company has created a unique aviation-themed Mustang to be auctioned at AirVenture, with proceeds benefiting the EAA Young Eagles program. This year's one of one, as it will one day be advertised at Barrett-Jackson, is the 2011 SR-71 Blackbird Mustang. The car is said to be the result of a first-time collaboration between automotive legends Carroll Shelby, a former U.S. Air Force flight instructor, and Jack Roush, a longtime P-51 pilot. The SR-71 Blackbird recon jet first took flight in 1964. That's the same year the Mustang was introduced. The first one-of-a-kind specialty Mustang auctioned for Young Eagles in 2008 was the Mustang AV-8R, which features a glass canopy roof and styling cues from the F-22 Raptor. It brought $500,000 at auction. I guess we're about to see what kind of shape the economy is in this year. Up next on ANN, NASA reaches kids through online multiplayer gaming. Sikorsky and Lockheed team up on the HH-60 program. And Northrop Grumman's Fire Scout wows him in the desert. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approaches. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 20th. I'm Paul Plack. If you're a fan of MMOGs, you probably know what one is. If not, it stands for Massive Multiplayer Online Game and creates opportunities for large numbers of people to create virtual characters to interact over the internet. NASA has decided that's an ideal means to interest many people in space exploration and has released Moonbase Alpha, a game it says combines NASA content with a cutting-edge game engine to inspire, engage, and educate students about agency technologies, job opportunities, and the future of space exploration. The premise posed by NASA on its webpage for the game invites players to, quote, step into the role of an explorer in a futuristic lunar settlement. Your mission is to restore critical systems after a meteor strike cripples life support equipment, unquote. Find out more through the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated July 19th, at aero-news.net. Sikorsky and Lockheed Martin have signed a teaming agreement formalizing their intent to offer an advanced version of Sikorsky's UH-60M Black Hawk helicopter for the Air Force's HH-60 Personnel Recovery Recapitalization Program. The agreement positions Sikorsky as the prime contractor and Lockheed Martin as the major subsystems supplier. The program seeks to replace the existing fleet of 112 HH-60G Pavehawk helicopters with an equal number of new aircraft, requiring minimum airframe modification or mission systems development. The initial operational capability of 8 aircraft, 4 trainers, and 4 mission-ready aircraft, plus test aircraft, is expected in fiscal year 2015. In April, the companies announced a teaming agreement to compete jointly for the U.S. Navy's revived VXX presidential helicopter program. The companies will share facilities, experience, and engineering talent for both opportunities. Northrop Grumman reports a successful series of demonstrations of the MQ-8B Fire Scout VUAS, that's Vertical Unmanned Aerial System, in cooperation with the U.S. Navy and several subcontractors. A VUAS is an unmanned helicopter. The test flights were conducted in early July over a 10-day period in the United Arab Emirates under what were described as extreme environmental conditions. The flights were performed in conditions as hot as 47 degrees Celsius, that's 117 Fahrenheit, with winds and blowing sand. Parts of the test missions involved flight beyond line of sight to demonstrate autonomous capabilities, and video captured by Fire Scout was presented to an audience of interested multinational government agencies and domestic and international media. The workout was a prelude to the Navy's upcoming operational evaluation of the system, which is planned for late this year aboard the USS Halliburton. Still ahead, Eurocopter gets a significant contract from Airbus. Boeing displays the Dreamliner at Farnborough. And if you want an unvarnished opinion, ask a retired guy. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 20th. I'm Paul Plack. Eurocopter's collaboration with Airbus on the new A350 XWB long-haul airliner took on a new dimension Tuesday with the signing of a major contract at the Eurocopter facility in Donaworth. Eurocopter has been chosen to develop and manufacture the door systems for the most recent member of the Airbus fleet. While both companies are EADS subsidiaries, Eurocopter is making much of its selection. Eurocopter CEO Lutz Bertling says, quote, "This A350 XWB contract with Airbus, which gives us the go-ahead for the production phase, is of decisive importance to the future sustainability of our manufacturing site in Germany," unquote. The plane had its initial development halted for redesign to match composite fuselage innovations in the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. The A350XWB is expected to finally enter service sometime in 2013. As promised, Boeing has the 787 Dreamliner on display at the Farnborough International Air Show that opened yesterday. Boeing VP Scott Fancher called it an honor. Quote, "I can't think of a finer stage on which to present this highly anticipated airplane," unquote. This is the first international trip made by a Dreamliner. 12 people were on board to conduct testing during the flight. The plane's first domestic airshow appearance was at the Arlington Fly-In in Washington State, June 8th. And finally today, when a bunch of retired Boeing engineers were heard crabbing about the company's current direction, Boeing Commercial Airplane CEO Jim Albaugh made an interesting decision. He brought them back to form an advisory group that reports to him. Of the results, he tells the Wall Street Journal, quote, "They've got some very strong views," unquote. The unofficial leader of the group is Joe Suter, who's 89 years old, led the team that developed the 747, and is not afraid to let his opinions fly. Regarding a 2001 proposal for a near-supersonic passenger jet called the Sonic Cruiser, Suter was asked if it was just a tactic to confuse Airbus or a for-real project. He replied, quote, "It was a real effort by people who were smoking marijuana," unquote. As you might imagine, one topic guaranteed to get blood boiling is the outsourcing of major parts of the Dreamliner, which is blamed for putting the plane way behind schedule. Suter says the outsourcing program was conceived, quote, "when the bean counters were running the place," unquote. Notably, Boeing has taken some of the advice on that topic to heart. In a huge corporation where many people may be shy to raise concerns, this strategy may have merit. The great thing about retired guys is they don't worry about getting fired. John Roundhill, an engineer and former VP who's part of the advisory group, says the current engineering team has welcomed the input of the old-timers, but they still know their place. Quote, "We know it's their day now. Our day has passed," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation talks about the impact of congestion pricing at airports. That tactic was recently cleared by a federal court. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.